A month ago, the Israeli public was very excited, a little bit over a month. The bones of a soldier with the name Zach Baumel was brought back to Israel. On April 4th, it was a big state funeral. The prime minister was there, the president was there, thousands of people came. It was a big event, and the whole country was speaking about it. Why? Well, what was so unique about it? Zach Baumel was born in 1960 in Brooklyn. In 1970, his family made Aliyah to Israel. They immigrated to Israel. Zach integrated in Israeli society better than all of them because he was athletic, he played sports, and right away he was a part of the crowd. He went to yeshiva, then he went to the army. In 1983, when the Lebanon war broke out, he was mobilized to the war together with his friends. And he went to the war, and there was one right before the first ceasefire, the Israeli soldiers fell into an ambush in a Syrian part of Lebanon. And it was a terrible, terrible situation. By the end of this, they tried to save them. The Israeli army tried to save them with aeroplanes, with things. By the end of the day, 20 were killed. And many were injured. And after all the counting, 3 soldiers were what it's called missing in action. Mm-hmm. They disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to them. Now Israel made a promise to the soldiers. The army is known for making a promise to the soldiers that they will bring them back no matter what. Mm-hmm. If they're alive, like they did last time, they traded 1,000 terrorists for one person.
Right. They didn't know. Trade for dead people.
Yeah. Exactly. They didn't know if he's alive or dead, and no matter what, they wanted to do everything. In Judaism also, bringing a dead soldier back to Jewish burial in Israel is a very, very important thing in Jewish tradition, Jewish burial. And here, they don't know what happened to him. The army tried to find anything out. They couldn't get any hold of anything. The Palestinians made sure that Israel should not be able to get 1 inch of knowledge. Is he alive or dead? Nothing. They made it as difficult as possible. A month after this ambush, 3-4 coffins were brought to the Jewish cemetery in Damascus, buried there with Jewish names of the Jewish soldiers. Israel was sure that this is the soldiers, they're dead. To the Red Cross, after a lot of international pressure, they allowed the Red Cross to open the coffins and to check who is buried there. One was a Jewish soldier, and the other 3 were Palestinian. They buried Palestinians there just to mislead the Jews, the Israelis. That was a year later. During this time, as much as the army tried to help to find out who it is in the government, his father, Zach's father, Yonah Baumel, took it upon himself to find his son no matter what. He believed that he's alive and he just need to find him. Not only he met with all the Israeli dignitaries, prime minister, president, ministers in the government, every Knesset, anybody you can think he met. He went all over the world. He met with every world leader that was ready to meet with him. Begged them, use your power. He met with the secretary of the UN. General of the UN. He met with everybody available and possible all over the world. With one request. It's a human issue. It's nothing to do with Israel. And we need your pressure. Use some pressure, your connections to find out where is my son. We are the 3 soldiers. And as things got worse, and then over the years, he got bitter, very bitter, because he felt that the Israeli government is not really caring for him. That was his feeling, that the army leaders are not telling him the truth, and things like this. When 10 years passed, when Yitzhak Rabin made the Oslo Agreement, he asked from Yasser Arafat some help. that Arafat brought him, the head of the PLO brought him a half of, you know, every soldier's wears on his chest, what it's called?
Dog tags.
Yeah, identification tags. It's called a dog tag. Mm-hmm. He gave him, it's a way, they write it twice. Mm-hmm. He bought him a half of it mm-hmm. with his name. They got his name. Yasser Arafat bought it to Yitzhak Rabin. Basically, he showed that we know what's going on. But that's it. He never told them any other information. Zero, zilch, nothing.
What an
asshole. And as the years passed, Yonah Baumol gets more angry, blaming the whole world. He loves Israel, but angry with the leadership. They don't do enough. They're not ready to risk enough. They're not caring enough. They care for other things, for other people. 10 years ago, he died out of heartbroken. Mm-hmm. And he said before he died, I failed my son. It was very sad, very sad. After he died, his daughter took over, continued the effort. But his daughter had a different attitude. She said, you know what? You can do what you can do. The leaders of the country have more things to do. They cannot be only busy with Zach Baumel. It's nice, it's important, but there is so many emergency pressing issues, life and death of people are alive. We cannot right. just do this. And she always gave them the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and then time passes. Talking about that happened 37 years ago, the war, 1983. Mm-hmm. In 2017, Israel did a big favor to Russia. They gave him intelligence information to Putin about what's going on in Syria. Mm-hmm. You know, since the war in Syria, Russia and Iran, two armies are in Syria.
Right.
Russia was sure that Iran is and Syria cooperating with them and they know everything what's going on. Israel brought them information, intelligence, that they showed them how deep is Iran in Syria, how is infrastructure, how many armies and divisions and weapon and everything. And they gave them information, classified information from on the highest level, what's going on in the Syrian government. The people that they thought are loyal to Russia are actually loyal to Iran. Putin was dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. He couldn't believe that this is happening. And in turn, he felt Israel, he did him a big favor.
Right.
In turn, he asked Netanyahu, what do you want? Netanyahu told him, I want from you a personal favor. Find Zach Baumol. Mm-hmm. And that, years before, from 2002, Israel appointed two investigators in the army on the case of Zach Baumol, to find out where he is once and for all. And they came and they narrowed it down. They felt that according to all the information, that he's in a Palestinian refugee camp not far from Damascus.
Buried there.
But one thing is that to know what there is to do it. In the last 2 years, Putin promised them he's going to take care of it. The last 2 years, Russian soldiers, by the direction of the Israeli army, together with the help of Syrian soldiers, went there and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and finally digged it up and found the right coffin with all his stuff, with his bag, with his everything. Right. And a month ago, they flew to Russia. Russia gave it to Israel in an official ceremony. The army, the commander-in-chief of the Russian army gave it an official ceremony. Putin talked about it. And Netanyahu thanked him. You know, Putin didn't understand. He says, a soldier from 37 years ago, a dead soldier, that's what you, what is this?
That's all that Russia has, dead soldiers.
Yeah,
tens of millions of dead soldiers.
Then he told them, for us, it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And Putin was like shocked. And they brought him, and the funeral was a month ago, 5 weeks ago in Israel. Mm-hmm. And that was, that first of all, just to think about it, that Russia should help Israel to find a soldier that fought against the Palestinians in Lebanon and Syria, who are the allies of Russia. This is Miracle times. Who would right. believe that such a thing would... If you would say it 10 years ago,
right.
it wouldn't even be in a dream. Nobody even can make, can come up with such a story.
Right.
Well, there is something more to it. In the parsha of this week, we read something, we read, there is a bunch of laws to speak about between men and men. The name of the parsha is Gdoshim. You have to be holy. There is mitzvahs with men and God, with men and men. One of the mitzvahs that's written, Betzedek tishpot amitzecha. When you judge a person, judge him honestly, and Rashi adds, judge him favorably. You see a situation? You can you see a person is doing something. You can judge him, you can criticize him, or you can say, maybe he doesn't know. Judge him favorably. And this same concept is written in the code of in the Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Father. It's written, you should judge every person favorably. Rashi there explains why. Simple. If you will judge him favorably, God will judge you favorably. It's measure for measure.
Right.
The way you treat others, that way God taught you. You want God to judge you favorably?
Christians call that the golden rule.
Yeah. They say the golden rule, the way you treat others, people treat right. you. I'm not about God. God. This is true. Not that it's not true. But the way God treats, you treat others, God will treat you. I judge you favorably, God will judge me favorably. But the Rebbe comes and says it's much more to it. The next verse, the next line, after these three words, you should judge your friend honestly, favorably. The next line is written, do not gossip on your brother. The law of Loshon Hara, that we all know, right. not to gossip on others.
One we all know and all disobey.
Exactly. Then the Talmud says something very interesting about Loshon Hara. Talmud says, Loshon Hara kills three. The speaker, the listener, and the person that you speak about. The speaker, you say, yeah, I understand, it's my fault, I'm bad, I'm speaking. The listener, if you wouldn't listen, I wouldn't be able to talk.
Yep.
But why the third person? Why should he suffer? He didn't do anything wrong. What is happening here? Why is he suffering? The Kabbalah says something very interesting. When I talk about somebody bad, I bring out the bad in him.
Mm-hmm.
I actually... Yeah, he has potential to be bad. We say, let's say we spoke about a person that is doing it to show off. He has it in him. But if you, by talking about it, you actually make it happen. When you make it happen, then he really is being punished. You understand? He actually mm-hmm. did that and he's being punished.
Right.
Me talking about it, words have so much power that me talking about it creates it, brings it out, not creating it, brings it out from the subconscious outside to the conscious, to a reality, makes him a reality.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebbe said the same thing as on the other side. When I judge somebody favorably, I bring out the best of him. I say he's a good guy. He didn't mean it. He wants to do the right thing. He will fix it. Saying it creates it, makes it happen. And what is happening here, as long as the father blamed the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm sure the prime minister, all of this, the decision makers, you know, they had less, for somehow they had less desire to do it. They had more important things on the table.
Yep.
By the daughter taking the other approach, judging them favorably, saying, you know what? They have many things. Netanyahu has many things on his plate. I don't blame him. I don't know if I would be better. Gave him the desire out of nowhere. And if he asked Putin, and he asked, when Putin asked him, what do you want? He's busy with Zach Baumel. Believe me, Israel needs many favors from Russia. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many favors. It out came out of nowhere. I'm sure that Netanyahu himself doesn't know where it's coming.
Right.
Because he judged him favorably. She brought out the best of him. And he made them want him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Rebbe was so busy talking about Jews favorably.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't handle when somebody came and criticized other Jews. The Rebbe didn't even give him a chance to finish his sentence. So, you came here to speak bad things about other people?
But of course we all do it.
We all do it. But if we will the point is like this, if you want somebody else to help you,
right.
say good about them, not because he will hear it.
Right.
By saying it, you bring out of him, and he will make you. He will make want to do it, and that's an amazing lesson. It was a sad story, but it was eventually brought. It was a closure. He has the body. His mother is still alive. She's 85 years old. And she came to the funeral, obviously, and everything.
How many children did she have?
She has, I think, 3 children. Okay. She has already great-grandchildren from your daughter. Your daughter said that I was concentrating on building the family. Because when while my father was looking, I felt that this would be the best thing, the best comforting I can bring to my parents.
Yep.
That the daughter's grandchildren, at the mother's great-grandchildren. Then, but because he would be now 37 years later, he's probably 60 years old. This is the age of his unit. And by this, you learn one thing, that when you speak good about a person, you make him want to help you, make him into a good person.